If you haven't been with us this week, this is our third night. And boy, the week's clicking right on by, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we've been talking about faith. This is greater faith. But how that faith is more than believing. And how our camp has emphasized on the hearing part. But hearing is how faith comes.
Yes, sir.
Not how faith is released.
Amen.
Is everybody listening?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And as a result, there's a lot of people who have heard and heard and heard and heard with little to no results. Because faith without an action
is dead.
It is alone. It does not produce. So thank God for hearing.
Yes.
You wouldn't have any faith to release.
That's right.
If you didn't hear.
Yeah.
But hearing is not the end of the process.
Right.
It's the beginning of the process.
Yeah.
Right? Go with me if you would to 1 Timothy. Well, I'll tell you what. 1 Timothy 6. Every generation is attacked by the enemy, and the enemy is a thief. He comes to steal.
Yes.
And one of the main things he comes to steal is the light of the truth of God's word. Because if he can steal that, he can prevent faith. He can prevent all kind of things. He can interfere with the will of God, plan of God. And the church throughout the dark ages, and there's a reason they call it dark, until the revelation to Martin Luther and others about faith, so much darkness in the sense of so much ignorance. And it wasn't always that way. You read in the beginning days of the book of Acts, man, the church had power. Church walked in miracles. Well, God didn't intend for that to change. We're not a different church from the church in the book of Acts. Sometimes people talk about the early church as though it's a different church. No, the book of Acts is still being written. Those are the beginning days of the church. We got the same Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Got the same authority in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Got the same gospel to preach.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Same gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Exactly the same.
Yes.
We should not be looking back to olden days, talking about the good old days.
Amen.
How it used to be. Every generation, if God's will is done, will take what the previous generation got and add to and move forward. And then the following generation takes it even further and higher. Isn't that exactly what Jesus said when he said, if you believe on me, huh? One of these centuries from now, you might catch up. Now see, that's religion. He said, if you believe on me, what will you do? The works I do? He's talking about right now, his ministry.
Yes.
These 3.5 years of amazing miracles. Scores of thousands healed and delivered. The dead raised. Signs and wonders. Amazing. He said, what I'm doing, what I have done, you will do. And you'll move on from there. Why? If he had stayed, it would have just kept getting bigger and greater and greater. But he wasn't here to do that. He was here to show us how to do it. And mostly on a straight, short course to the cross. To pay the price. So, notice what he said. If you believe on me, the works. Somebody say works.
Works.
the works I do, you will do, and greater works than these shall you do. And he said, if he told the people, the religious leaders, at least believe on me for the works' sake.
That's right.
Because the Father in me, he does the works. Now, when you say works in our modern generation, most people's mind goes down a trail. And they go, ooh, ooh, we're not into works. No works. No works. And that is a giant mistake. That is ignoring huge portions of New Testament scripture. Go with me to Ephesians, since we're here now. Huh? Can't blame anybody else. I got myself here. Ephesians 2. James, you know, talks about this. Faith without
works
is dead.
Yes.
But when people hear that, especially with all the emphasis that's been on grace and not works, people in their mind hear works of the law. He didn't say works of the law. And he's not talking about works of the law. And you should not insert that phrase every time the word works appears. Don't think works of the law every time you see the word works in the King James. For instance, in the book of James there, faith without works is dead. That word can be translated deeds. Faith without deeds, faith without actions, faith without doing. I like that word. And it's a correct word. Faith without doing. He's not talking about the works of the law. He's not talking about trying to be saved by keeping the law. He's talking about something else. And yet, with so many people, you talk about doing anything, and they go into, oh, no, no works. No works now, no works. People say, we've had people before that we said, okay, we got teams that are working, you know, in the parking lot working. Oh, no, we don't do works. We don't do works. We're grace people. You're do-nothing people. Is that what I'm to understand? Well, there's a giant problem with that, whether you serve on a team or not, because faith that does nothing is worth nothing, produces nothing. That includes faith that makes confessions, but doesn't follow through with corresponding actions. The woman with the issue of blood, her faith made her whole.
Yes.
What if she had stayed at the house and said, I believe in the healing power of Jesus. I believe if I touch the hem of his clothes, I shall be whole. If she had stayed at the house and made those confessions daily, she would never have been healed.
Amen.
That's good.
No. She had to
do
what she confessed. She had to follow through with what she believed, said she believed. Not enough to just talk it. Can you see this is an area we, word and faith people, we need a booster shot of doing. Huh?
Yes.
A doing booster.
Yeah.
Doing booster.
Because
people have heard and heard and heard and heard and heard and heard and heard, and they think that's all there is to it. No, that's how faith comes. That's not how it's released. That's not how the power is activated. The power was not activated with the woman with the issue of blood when she confessed and said, "If I may touch but the hem of his clothes, I shall be whole." No power was manifested when she said that. It was only when, in her weakened condition, is that right?
Yes.
She got herself out of the house.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Pushed herself through that crowd.
Yes.
It was only when she finally did it.
Yes.
That the power flowed.
Yes.
No power flowed. James says the demons believe. Doesn't do them any good. There's more to faith than believing.
Amen.
Is everybody awake?
Yes, sir.
There's more to faith than believing.
Yes.
You can believe, and have no manifestation of power.
Amen.
That's what James is talking about. And the enemy is very subtle. He is very, he's tricky. He's been fooling human beings for millennia. He's really good at it. And listen to these phrases. Well, the main thing you got to do is let go and let God. Huh? Because God is in control.
Yes.
These are doctrines of demons.
Yes.
And most of the church would fight you.
Yes.
Oh, they would fight you over this.
So true.
God is in control. Of what? Come on, let's be specific. You? Did he dress you tonight? He chose whether you ate corn pops or Cocoa Krispies this morning. He picked out that tie for you. I don't think so. Huh? No. God is not controlling everybody and everything on this planet. Most of the people on this planet, God is not even involved with at all.
That's good. That's right.
Ephesians talks about people who are without Christ, without God, and without hope in the world.
Yes.
God's not even involved with them. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and what?"
Knock.
If you don't open the door, if you don't invite him in, he is not controlling your affairs. In many cases, he's not even involved in it at all. And yet, people in our camp, beating the pulpit, going, "God's in control. God's in control." Now, if you're talking about cast your cares over on the Lord, let go of worry, absolutely. But that's not what a lot of people are talking about. They're talking about God's in control anyway, and so we just need to quit and get out of his way and let him do. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do, is stop doing anything, especially resisting him.
Amen.
And act like everything is God, so the enemy can just steal, kill, and destroy without resistance. But we are not so foolish. We're not ignorant of his devices. The Lord has taught us better. He has revealed to us better. So no, it's not all up to God. You can't leave up to him what he left up to you. Doesn't work.
Amen.
1 Timothy, did you find it?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Is that what I said or not? Huh? Oh, boy. Now, I wanted you to go to 1 Timothy 6:12 first. And then we're going to 2 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 6:12. 1 Timothy 6:12, what does it say? Let go? Huh?
No. No.
Let go.
No.
Just leave it all up to God because he knows best.
No.
Read it for me, word for word. Fight.
The good fight.
Of faith. Lay hold. That's kind of like letting go, isn't it?
No.
Let go. Let go.
No. No.
Lay hold. Let go.
No.
Uh-uh.
Yes.
No. Say it out loud. Fight.
Fight.
The good fight.
The good fight.
Of faith.
Of faith.
Will there be any action involved in fighting? I used to do some sport fighting when I was 8-9 years old. There was, I know this sounds crazy, but there was a bit of a feud between the families in my area, and there was only me and my younger brother, and I was only 8, and there were 8-10 of them kids going to school, and they were all older. And so they'd catch me on the school bus by myself sometime and just give me a good beating. That's sad, isn't it? Yeah. And I got off the bus one day. It wasn't fair now. I mean, 3 of them held me down. Well, 2 of them gave me a what for. And my nose is bleeding. My mouth is bleeding. My shirt's tore and... I got off the bus and my dad saw me. And this was his response. Boy, we're going to have to do something with you. And he put me in a school of martial arts. Old school. Cement floors. No pads. Yeah. But after a few years, I was in that from the time I was 9, 10 till 18. And I thought that was going to be my life's focus. I was going to Okinawa. I was going to train under some folks there. I already had a path, and I had been in some tournaments and you know, was doing fair. I am so glad the Lord had another path for me, because by now I'd be an old man. You know, even when you win, you get hurt. You know, you get bruises and every kind of thing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I'm walking around here with no pain.
Thank you, Lord.
Joints work good. Got my teeth.
And yeah.
But I say all that to say this, if you're going to fight, you got to fight.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You can't just stand in the corner and go, now you stay over there. And no, we're here to fight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you, if you don't do something, something will be done to you.
Yeah. Wow.
Huh?
Yeah.
So when the Lord says,
fight.
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 Fight. Is it going to take some effort on your part? Huh? Is it all going to be easy?
No,
it ain't. No. There's an enemy. He's trying to hurt us. He's trying to kill us. He's trying to steal from us. Now, you're not fighting God.
Amen.
God's not your problem.
Amen.
And we're not even fighting flesh and blood.
Amen.
Right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do fight. We do wrestle. And it comes in the form of spiritual influences. It comes in thoughts. It comes in feelings, strong feelings. It comes in swaying and influences and things through people and challenges and contradictions and symptoms. And you wish it would quit, but every day you got to fight.
Yes.
Help me out. Help me out. Help me out. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to fight. You got to fight. You have to fight.
You have to fight.
You have to fight. Or you will be defeated. You got to fight. Is that the same as just letting go? That reminds me of the 60s. Flower child. Why can't everybody just get along? Because they won't. Ain't gonna happen. You better wake up. Huh?
Yeah.
I was ministering to somebody in healing school at Brother Hagin's place many years ago. And I was telling them, you know, you have to resist this. You have to stand against this. And they said, I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. I'm not a fighter. I said, well, you'll be destroyed.
Wow.
Yeah, but I'm peace, peace. Oh, the devil will agree with you.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you go, devil, let's make a deal. You leave me alone and I'll leave you alone. He'll go, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure. And you turn your back? There are no deals to be made. And no deals need to be made. Because greater.
Yeah.
Greater.
Yeah.
Greater. Is he who is in us than he who is in the world. But you've got to fight. You got to stand up. You got to resist. And having done all to stand, you don't give up. You don't quit. You keep standing. You keep believing. You keep taking the steps that he gives you to take. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, we talked last night. Go back to Deuteronomy, if you would. The first chapter. We talked about what happened with that first generation of Israelites that God delivered out of Egyptian bondage. And how that God's will did not happen for them. And the scripture, New Testament tells us,
yes, sir,
both in Hebrews, 1 Corinthians, other places, that what happened to them is a type for us today. And so when you see why are things not happening for believers today, it's exactly why it didn't happen for them. Exactly the same reason. So why was it? Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the Lord said, after them refusing to obey him over a period of time and period of things, he said, they're not going to enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. It was God's will for them to go into the land, to enjoy prosperity their parents and grandparents never dreamed of. And pass on something to their children and grandchildren. He said, houses you didn't build. Vineyards you didn't plant. Orchards, wells you didn't dig. Is that right? And houses full of good things. This has always been God's will and plan. They enjoyed none of it. None of it. Even though it was God's will. You can't say it wasn't God's will. It was God's will. Why didn't they enjoy it? Deuteronomy 1 is a summary. Verse 20, he said, you're come to the mountain of the Amorites, the Lord your God gives you. Behold, verse 21, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of your fathers has said to you, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. This is the clear command of the Lord. It's yours. I want you to have it. I've selected it for you. And far as he's concerned, it's already yours. And yet, you got to take it. You got to take it. Verse 25, they took the fruit of the land in their hands. They brought down word and they said, it's a good land. Verse 26, notwithstanding, you would not go up, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. You murmured in your tents and you said, because the Lord hated us, he's brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. I'm talking about this because it applies absolutely directly to right now, today, to the church. They chose to believe the lie that God hated them and didn't want it for them, rather than admit they were too cowardly and too faithless to obey him and go take the land. And this is what religion is doing now today.
Yes, yes.
Rather than take responsibility, people are saying, well, it's just not God's will. We just don't understand. And you know, it's not the season or the time for that. God never changes.
He never changes.
Why did they not enjoy the plan of God for their life? Would not fight. Is everybody listening? Would not fight. Would not fight. The Lord did everything he could to convince them to fight. He told them. He encouraged them. There were two guys that were ready.
Yes.
Anybody remember them?
Yes, sir.
Joshua?
Yes.
Caleb? Yes. See, one of the biggest things that Jesus has delivered us from, through partaking of flesh and blood, Hebrews said, he delivered us from the fear of death. Oh, come on, come on. He delivered us from the fear of death, because those that didn't get delivered, all your lifetime, you're subject to bondage. What many have not understood is that being strong in faith is being absolutely courageous. Being strong in faith is being bold as a lion.
Hallelujah.
And the only way you can genuinely be that way is if you no longer fear death. That's the only way. Now, life is precious. You don't want to throw it away. But if you live 100 years, it's a flash. It's here. It's gone. Everybody's leaving here real soon. Nobody's staying here for another 3 centuries. Huh? So somebody, well, I may die. Honey, child, you're going to die. If the Lord tarries, it's coming just a little bit. You'll soon and very soon be out of here. But you don't have to live like a wimp. And you don't have to die like a coward.
Hey,
you can be a man of God. You can be a woman of God. You can face your fear. You can be an overcomer. What if I die? You are going to die. What if I die? What if, I've had somebody say, what if I die trying to believe God? I said, you don't want to die any other way. You don't want to die any other way. We human beings are too focused sometimes on results. Whether this thing happened or these symptoms changed or this or that. God is focused on faith. Faith is what pleases Him. Abraham's faith pleased God before he ever did the thing. Right? And so God's looking not at the result, He's looking at the faith. And before you ever see the results, if you're facing it in courage and trust, God is pleased with you right now before He sees anything else. And sure, there's a lot we don't know. There's a whole lot we don't know. And if for some reason you don't get it quite right, you didn't receive everything that you should, and you died trying to believe God somehow, next thing you're going to see is Jesus. And you're going to say, Lord, I was trying to believe you. He said, I know it, baby. Come here. Come here. I know it. I know it. And He's going to hug you, and you're going to forget all about it. You'll be like, whoo, who cares? Hallelujah. But that you were endeavoring to honor Him by showing that you, even if you were wrong in your thinking, your heart was right. And you were endeavoring to trust Him and believe Him and obey Him. That's the only way you want to die. Ever. That's living in faith, and it's dying in faith. Second Timothy chapter 1 and 7. Why did those first generation of Israelites not enjoy the will of God? Why didn't the plan of God happen for them? They wouldn't fight. They rebelled against the commandment of God, and they were cowards. I don't want that name associated with me. How about you? And see, there is a stigma, a spiritual stigma that spirit beings see and know attached to unbelief. Unbelief is not this innocent thing that many have thought. There's the stigma of defiance and rebellion, and there's the stigma of cowardice. You know, our first church that we started there in Branson just celebrated, 22 years. And when we were going to start that work, we never thought we'd start a church. We're road ministers, travel, and we're happy with that. Thought we'd do that our whole life. And the Lord dealt with us to start a work there. And it puzzled me. I spent many a night in prayer about it. And I thought, Lord, is that my call? That doesn't seem like my call. And I knew we ministered in the prophet's ministry. And we ministered in the teacher's ministry. But not so much. And finally, he said to me one night, I said, Lord, this prophet, this pastor, he said, I was both. All of it. Quit trying to figure it out. Obey me. What do you say then?
Yes, sir.
Sir, yes, sir.
Sir, yes, sir.
Is that right? Sir, yes, sir. And we were buying this. We were going to get this property. I had told Phyllis, I was on the road. I said, you know, let's look for a place where we could have a studio, where we could shoot some, you know, lessons and things like that. And well, she calls me and says, you need to come over here and see this. I said, what is it? She said, it's a 3,000 seat auditorium. I said, huh? What do we need to see that for? She said, I don't know, but you need to come see. I went, we stood there and looked, and sure enough, man, the Spirit of God dealt with us. Believe for this. I thought, why? Why? Now see, what are we talking about all this week? Whatever He says to you, do it. So, we just took some time and kept praying about it. And the more we prayed about it, the more set in it that we thought, you're supposed to get this. And I know it might seem like slow to you, but it only later did I realize church. Yeah, church.
Church.
That's what you need all this for. And so we went to the owners. We had no money. And we tried to see if they would do some kind of lease purchase deal. And they said, no, we just want to sell it. Okay. And then later we talked to them about, well, what about this kind of situation? We'll do this and then for a few months and then we'll agreement to buy at this point. And they said, no, like we said, we just want to sell it. Okay. And so finally we came up with a third scenario. You know, when you got no money, you're trying to be creative. they said, like we said, we just want to sell it. And so Phyllis and I went back to the place where we were staying. And this is as far as we can go. We don't know anything else to do. And I had looked at the place. Of course, this is, 10 acres and large, 80,000 square feet. And, the utilities are substantial. And they asked us, well, how many is in your congregation? We said, well, right now, nobody. Really. And I tried to think about, well, how could we do this? And I spent a night or two with a calculator, and I finally just put it in the drawer and shut the drawer because it doesn't work. And some of my friends who thought they'd help me out, they said, what do you want to do that for? I mean, you're booked up. You've got a good traveling ministry. And you saddle yourself with all of that stuff. And they told me about people that had tried with much, much smaller things and it didn't work. And I went back and forth with that a time or two. But something bothered my spirit about it. And then it stirred me up. And it reminded me of my fighting days. Somebody's trying to mess with me. Huh? Come on. Quit talking. Huh? And I said this to finally to one of them. I said, look, I'm a man. Phyllis is a woman. We could miss it. And if we miss it and we fall flat on our face, I don't mind getting up and saying, we missed it.
Yeah.
Look at there. Woo.
But
I'd rather go out and fall flat on my face in front of everybody than to be too scared, too chicken, too coward to obey the Lord. No, don't let that be it.
Amen.
The Lord knows my heart. And you know, the very first Sunday, was it 500-600 people showed up? Just showed up and said, we want out church. Well, glory to God. Been a strong church there ever since. But if you hadn't taken a step, somebody say, take a step. And if you hadn't been willing to fight the ideas. Fight the fear. Fight. Somebody say fight.
Fight.
Why did that first generation die young, die wrong in the desert, never get to move in their house, never get to enjoy what God had for them? Tell me why. Why? Why? They wouldn't fight. They were too cowards. They wouldn't fight. Will you fight? I'm looking at you.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Will you fight?
Yes.
You'll have to.
Yes.
To win victories.
Yes.
To overcome. You have to. Now look what this scripture says. 2 Timothy 1 and 7.
Thank you, Lord.
We've said it.
Yes.
I think it'll mean more to you now tonight.
Yes.
God has not given us the spirit of fear. Many translations say the spirit of timidity. Others say the spirit of cowardice. The spirit of timidity, the spirit of cowardice does not come from God. It's not from God. We need to identify this stuff a mile away when it's coming after us. Why? Because religion has excused cowardice and called it humility. I'm just whatever God wants. No, you're too chicken to fight.
Come on.
No. It's just all up to God. It is not all up to God. Whatever will be. Where is that scripture? Where is that verse?
It's not in there.
Why am I saying this? Because the enemy is fooling millions of church-going people into being absolutely cowards and passive. And then turn around and say, well, it must not have been God's will. I don't know why it never happened for us. Why didn't it happen for the first generation?
Yeah. Not fight. Would not fight.
Wouldn't fight. Sat in their tents. Cried. Felt sorry for themselves. Talked about God hates us. How stupid can you get? God hates us. He delivered you out of Egyptian bondage. Healed your body. Put money in your pocket. Said, I found you a place. That don't sound like somebody that hates you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for it, Lord.
And yet religion is the same way today. But we don't know why God has not seen fit to do that. But it's just His mysterious will. No. It's a lack. Lack of faith. Lack of courage. Lack of strength. Lack of resolve. Lack of commitment. I don't have to know everything in this life.
Amen.
I don't have to have all the answers. What I do have to do is stand up for my God.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Hold on boldly in the face of anything to what He said.
Yes.
Show some courage.
Yes.
Show some courage.
Yes.
Same thing as have some faith. Same thing. So I want you to say out loud, God did not
give me
the spirit of timidity.
He
did not
give me anything
that makes me a coward.
He gave me the spirit of power,
love,
control,
soundness,
courage.
That's the spirit of God.
Yes.
That's the spirit in me.
Yes.
Go to Luke, if you would, please. A couple of more things. Luke 11. This is a passage that the understanding of the whole thing depends on one word in the passage. And many have gotten it wrong. Luke 11, everybody happy?
Yes.
They didn't enjoy theirs because they wouldn't fight. Laid down and cried. Felt sorry for themselves. Died young. Died wrong. Were robbed. Somebody say, not me.
I will fight.
I will fight.
I will fight.
I will fight the good fight of faith. I will lay hold.
I will lay hold.
Hallelujah. I will lay hold.
Lay hold.
That's the same thing he told them. Possess. Possess. What does that mean? Go get it, boy. Go get it. Go take it. You're not trying to take it from God. He's the one who gave it to you. But the enemy will try to keep you from possessing it. Take it. Lay hold. In Luke 11. Jesus said, verse 5, right after he, you know, they asked him, teach us to pray, and he gives what we call the Lord's Prayer. And involved in the prayer is asking for some things. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, our trespasses. Asking for some things. The Lord tells us to ask. And when he says ask, you know what he expects you to do?
Ask.
Yes. He said, which of you will have a friend? I want you to picture yourself sitting at the feet of Jesus. Right now. And Jesus says, there's something I want to share with y'all. And he tells you this story. Brother Hagin did that with us a few times. Brother Hagin Sr., who's in heaven now, we'd be getting ready for prayer school or healing school or something. And I don't know, several times he told us this story with no preface and no explanation at the end. He just tell us the story. The story was about years ago, man in their community was wealthy. And they didn't have banks like they do today. And so people would go to this man to borrow money from him. And the church borrowed money and built a building. And different ones that had farms had borrowed money from him and bought their farm. And over the years, a lot of times, they'd be able to pay him back with some interest. And he was their bank. Well, hard times came. And a drought came. And it happened for 1, 2, 3 years in a row. And nobody made a crop. And they weren't even able to pay for their seed from the previous year. And the church didn't make its payments. And other people didn't make their payments. And 1 year turned into 2, turned into 3, turned into more. And some of the folks at the church said, well, you know, he won't repossess the church. But he did. He came and repossessed the property. Put them out. And some of the other farmers, you know, they said, well, there's no point in this, you know. We already owe for all this. And they quit working. They didn't even try to break up the land for the next season. And so he repossessed their farms too. But there was one guy. Every morning, he'd get up. He can't pay for 2 years ago seed that he borrowed on. But he would get up, didn't have any money, but he'd go down to the creek, get some whitewash. And he'd make him some, you know, whitewash paint. Mm-hmm. He would repair his fences. He would paint his fences. He would take his sling blade and clear the fence rows. And one day the man came over to his house and handed him the deed to the property. And then Brother Hagin would say, okay, y'all go ahead and go get the service started. And we'd forget about it, and another year or two had passed, and he'd just one afternoon start telling us his story again. Anybody know why he's telling us this story? Why? Because see, people think because they're Christians, they don't even have to try. Can you see this? Oh, well, he won't repossess the church. Why not? Why does he owe you a place to meet in? You won't even try. And the other people quit. So there's no investment to be made there. But this man, Amen. Wouldn't quit.
Wouldn't quit.
Oh, come on. Can you see this or not? Is he still fighting?
Yeah.
Looks like he's down and out. Everybody else has quit. Looks like there's no future. What does he do? Rooster crows? He's up. He's up. He's painting fences. He's fixing things. Why? He's already lost it. But has he?
No.
Said the man showed up and said, I've been watching you, and handed him the deed to his property. Look at this. He said, which of you will have a friend? And you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey's come to me. I don't have anything to set before him. He from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Leave me alone. It's midnight. The door's shut. My children are with me in bed. I can't rise and give to you. Who's telling the story?
Jesus.
Why? What's going on here? What does he want us to know? You have somebody come to visit.
Yeah.
It's late.
Yeah.
They say they're hungry.
Yeah.
You got no food.
Yeah.
But you got a neighbor.
Yeah.
You know they always got good food.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's midnight.
Yeah.
Midnight.
Yeah.
Now, of course, back then, no electricity.
Yeah.
No TV. People usually went to bed, you know, went to sleep. So he may have been asleep, you know, for hours. But here you go, and you're knocking on the door. Hey, Bobby. It's me, Joe.
Yeah.
Bobby? I know you're in there. Bobby? Get up. Bobby said, Joe? He hollers from the bed inside the house. Yo, what's wrong with you, man? It's midnight. And he said, I need some bread. You know, my cousin came by, and he's hungry, and needs some bread. And he said, normally what he would say is, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Quit beating on the door. You're going to wake my kids up.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe just got the baby asleep. Right? I can't get up and give you something at midnight. Let's talk at a sane hour of the day. Who's telling the story? Come on, help me out. Jesus. For why? Keep going. He said, I say to you. Now, the Lord's telling us now why he's telling the story.
Okay.
Though he won't get up and give him what he's asking for because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity. That's a word. When's the last time you used that in a sentence? That's a King James word. Because of his importunity, he will get up and give him as many as he needs. So, in the first scenario, he doesn't get what he wants.
That's right.
But in this scenario, he does.
He does.
Yeah. Now, you got to keep reading to see the application.
Yeah.
Verse 9. I say to you, then what?
Ask.
What?
Ask.
What?
Ask.
So what's the application of the story? Ask. And what will happen? It'll be given to you. Seek. And you'll find it. Knock, which is what the man just did. Knock. And it will be, shall be open to you. Because of what? Not because he's his friend. Not because he needs bread. Not because of a need. Not because of a desire. Not because of a friendship. Not because of a relationship. None of that. But because of his
importunity.
If you look that word up, it's 2 words. And it means bashful not. Bashful. Are ashamed, not. What are we talking about? Exactly what we read, that God did not give us the spirit of timidity. What did he give you? He gave you the spirit of power, boldness, courage, confidence. Why does a man get his food? Because he was just brass enough to walk up on the porch at midnight and beat on the door and ask for it. Not too timid. Not too timid. And yet, see, religion has taught people, oh, no, 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 no. You just need to go to the corner and sing softly. Kumbaya. Don't forget me. Precious Jesus. Why? Don't be forward.
Yes.
And that is the exact opposite of what the Lord told us to do.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Shamelessness. Without timidity. Without hesitation. What's he saying? He's not telling us to be rude. He's not talking about being an imposition on each other. He's talking about this is how spiritual things work.
Yes.
Huh? When he says, I have given you this, you don't go ask anybody, can you have it?
Come on, it's good.
We've got to overcome this being polite with the devil. And too many have drawn back and go, oh, I don't like confrontation. I just don't. I don't. Well, then you will be robbed. You will be robbed. And this is not about demanding of people now. This is not about demanding of people. This is about when the Lord tells you to take something. When he tells you to possess something. When he tells you to lay hold.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. We join faith with Tony and Patsy Caminetti and their ministry this week. And Faith Publications and Papua New Guinea Schools. And we just hauled off. And we claimed us some millions of dollars. Did we or did we not? We went ahead. And we claimed us some millions. We're getting them too. We're getting them. We're getting them. We're getting them. We don't care how many people don't like it and call us names and make fun of us about prosperity. We don't care. We don't care.
We don't care.
We don't care. We come to fight, brother. Huh? And we will stay on it until we have every bit of it.
Every bit of it. All of it. All of it.
And we won't ask anybody, can we?
That's right.
And we won't believe anybody that tells us we can't. And you have to. When we don't have the fast organ music playing. And everybody's shouting in the building. And it's a slow Thursday afternoon. Huh? And it might not all look like it's happening just as quick or the way you want to. What do you got to do? You got to say, No! I'm having it. It's mine. It's mine. We are laying hold. And we will fight the good fight of faith. And we will not relinquish. And we will not quit. And you'll have it.
Yes.
Not because you're so pretty. And not even because everybody likes you. But because of your importunity. Because of your boldness. Because of your lack of embarrassment and timidity. And your lack of fear and cowardice. You just step right up and take you some. Yeah. 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 Hey! isn't that what happened with the woman with the issue of blood?
Yes.
Come on, think about it now. Jesus is not having a healing meeting. He's not praying for anybody. He didn't invite anybody to come have hands laid on him. He's traveling from point A to point B. And the woman with the issue of blood, she hears about the healings that's been going on, and she just decides. Didn't talk to anybody. Didn't talk to Jesus about it. I'm going to get me one. I'm getting me one. I'm getting me one. If I can just touch the hem of his clothes, I'm getting my healing. And so she didn't ask anybody. She came. She pressed through the crowd. She touched. And oh, when she touched, she took. And she assumed nobody would be the wiser. She backs into the crowd. She felt in her body. Felt in her body she was healed. And then she opens her eyes and Jesus has stopped. And he's looking around saying, who touched me? He said, oh, Lord. What if he wants it back? Didn't ask. Didn't ask if it was God's will. Didn't ask if God had some plan in her having that issue of blood. Didn't ask if it'd be okay. She just came and took it.
Yeah.
Did that upset Jesus?
No.
Did that make him mad?
No.
No. No. He wants to know who did that. Who did that? Who? Finally, she couldn't be hid. She said, it was me, Jesus. And then she goes into this spell. I've been sick for 12 years. I spent everything I had, been through all these procedures. And I just said, if I could touch you, and I touched you, and oh, I'm healed, and it feels so good. He said, I know, baby. Your faith, your importunity, your lack of fear, your lack of dread, your lack of timidity, your boldness to come on up in here and receive it has made you whole. Whew. I preached myself happy. Glory to God. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Will you let this spirit of faith come into you real strong tonight? Put your hands on you, middle part of your body. Said out loud, my God did not give me spirit of fear, timidity, weakness, cowardice. None of that's him. I don't have to have any of that. I reject it. I refuse it with everything in my being. Father, forgive me for being passive or waiting when I should have been stepping out, laying hold, making excuses why things didn't work when it was my lack of laying hold. I receive strength, power, ability to rise up. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. I'm strong to break through. I'm strong to receive. I'm strong to lay hold. Get glory to yourself, Lord, in all my life, in every part. Praise God. Praise God. Lift your hands. Give thanks to the Lord. Give praise to Him.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.